nothing be dropped on the floor, Father God. Help us receive it and let it resonate in our heart and never be forgotten. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your blessing. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say,
amen.
Amen. All right. Okay, as Pastor Ben said, today I'm going to talk about prayer. And the topic of my sermon is, Lord, can you hear me now? Lord, I really want that new pair of slippers that I saw the other day at the store. Lord, I really want to get that promotion. Lord, I really want to get that new cell phone. Lord, I need money for my trip. Lord, bless me with a new car. Lord, can you hear me? Lord, are you listening? You know, sometimes we feel God is just not listening to our prayer. In Psalm 22, 1 to 2, it said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish, my God, I cried out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. So what could be the problem here? Why is that our prayer doesn't seem to be answered? Number one, perhaps we're in a hurry. You know, nowadays we are living in a fast lane, always in a hurry. We send emails, send texts, even while we're eating. Or we don't have time to answer our phone. We just let the voicemail pick it up for us. You know, we have express mail, we have Jiffy Lube, we have instant WeBay, and we have overnight delivery. And talking about delivery, you guys heard about Amazon? They're going to have Prime Air. So what is it, a service? Say you bought a package, whatever, I don't know, clothing or anything that's less than 5 pounds. They said they can deliver to your doorstep less than 30 minutes. So overnight shipping is not even fast enough. You want it 30 minutes or less. It's coming soon. And then what we want things fast, like right now. And we grumble when we wait in the grocery line. It's a long line, grumble, grumble, grumble. And we grumble when we wait in the drive-thru. And we grumble when our Wi-Fi is low. The funny thing is that even though we try to be hurried, and there seems to be just not enough time, and sleep even becomes a luxury to us. And that somehow translates into our prayer too. We pray and we expect that God, our Father God, will answer us right away. So we pray and wait, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Lord, are you listening? I'm ready. Where's your answer? Remember Joseph. God wanted him to be at an influential position in Egypt. And how did he do it? First, he had him sold to a foreign land by his brothers. And then he got falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and got sent into jail. And in jail, he prayed to God, God, help me out here. I want to get out of here. And God doesn't seem to hear that. And later on, he had the opportunity to interpret dreams for the inmates. And one of the guys is the cupbearer of Pharaoh. And when that cupbearer got released from jail, and at the time that Pharaoh has a dream that no one can interpret, and Joseph was brought in, and he was able to interpret the dreams, and he became the right-hand man of Pharaoh. You know, you just wonder, you know, so you guys know how long Joseph was in jail? Actually, in Genesis 41:1, it said, 2 full years later, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the Nile River. So Joseph was in jail for 2 years. You kind of question, so why? Why God did that? Why have Joseph go through all the dramas for that 2 years in prison? Can God just, you know, place him in the leadership position in Egypt? You know, we may try to use our limited wisdom to try to rationalize why God does what he does. And the truth is, we don't know. We don't know why God does that. Isaiah 55:8, he said here, "For what my thoughts are not your thought, neither are your ways my way." See, we need to accept that the fact that we cannot comprehend the wisdom of God, and it is not our timetable, it's his timetable. And I'm going to illustrate it with a video. Benson?
Let's see. What looks good? What am I in the mood for? Some wisdom looks nice. I could really use that. Strength is good too. Might as well take some of that. I wonder if they have any mercy here. Good. I'll take a bit of that as well. I think I'll pass on that.
Ew. No.
Yes, please.
Well, who doesn't want some more of that?
Yeah, I definitely could use some of those. And to finish, boom.
You know what? All right, okay, we'll make it work. We'll do it today, we'll make it work.
See, isn't it true? Sometimes we treat God as a vending machine, right? And the frustrating part is that, you know, sometimes we put on the prayer cones and nothing come out. You got all frustrated, you know? Don't treat God as a vending machine. And he's not even like a genie, okay? We cannot say, "Genie, manapua, boom." They're going to give you a manapur. Or genie, spam musubi. Boom! They're going to give you a genie. Spam musubi. No, we got to know our place. We got to know who is the master and whose timetable should we follow here. Psalm 46:10, he says, "Be still and know that I'm God." You know, we wait up on the Lord. Like here, Habakkuk 2:1, it says here, it's his. You got to listen to this. "I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint." See what you see here is he waits. He's waiting for the Lord. "I'm ready to receive, Lord." And this is how God answered him. He said, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. If it seems low in coming," what does it say? "Wait patiently, for it will be surely take place. It will not be delayed." Keywords again, wait patiently. God has a plan for us. Amen. 29:11 Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you." What's the plan? "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." We just need to trust in him. Trust in his time and not our own time. Number two, why our prayer seems to be unanswered. Perhaps we are not tuned in. You know, right here, right now, there are radio waves running across this place. And you have the right receiver, like a radio. You can tune in and listen to them. Just like your cell phone or your walkie-talkie. If you get the right channel, you'll be able to receive it. In Matthew 11:15, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." God equip us with the right equipment to listen to him. Like Samuel. Samuel was a young boy when he heard a voice call his name and thought it was Eli, the priest in the tabernacle where he served the Lord. And when Eli realized that God was calling Samuel, he told the boy how to respond. When God called him for the fourth time, Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears. He is prepared to receive the message." We need to prepare ourselves to receive, be attentive to God's voice. In the world we're living in, we hear many voices, and many of them actually are noises. We can pretty much put those voices into three buckets. The first one is our own flesh. You know, when our flesh speaks, and it speaks the loudest, and when it's the time that we have distress, either emotionally or physically, we tend to put the focus on ourselves and took the eyes off Jesus. Remember Peter in Matthew 14, 28, 30, he said, "Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water." And then Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat, went on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was what? Afraid, and began to sing, cried out, "Lord, save me." See, Peter was doing just fine, walking and cruising on water. But what caused him to sing? He was afraid, and emotional distress. In our life, it is just an unavoidable fact that we always be put in that position. It's like when your boss called you in saying, "Oh, the company is going to be downsized. Your job going to be eliminated." Or you got a call from the doctor, and the result is not in your favor. Or maybe you got a letter from an attorney saying that you are being sued. You know, all this situation can easily put you in the emotional distress. And it can devastate us and call us to take our eyes off Jesus. No, fearful and faithful, they don't go together. When one reigns, the other fades. And that's why faith is so important. With strong faith, no matter what situation we are in, we don't take our eyes off Jesus. We don't do that. Romans 10, 17, so that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Next voice, the voice of the devil, also known as the prince of this world. So how do we tell that's the voice from the devil? It is contrary to the word of God. They are lies. John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And what's his objective? John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So one thing we got to be aware of, devil, they know the scripture really well. And the tactic is that they put thought to us. Thought that is half true. You know, they must put thought on us saying, "Oh, Almighty God, he controls all things. Always watching over us, and he doesn't care about us even we are suffering or not." You know, it's true. Our Lord, he has power over all things. He has authority over everything, right? And it is true. He is watching us every moment of our life. But what is not true is he cares about us. He cares about what we do, how we feel. He even collects our tears in the bottle. Now, the last voice, whose voice? God's voice. And the way to recognize that is to know the Word of God. The more we read about it, the more we obey it, the words of God, the easier it is for us to call out the devil's voice. You know, I'm married to my wife for almost 22 years. If there's a room full of people talking, speaking, if I'm blindfolded when she speaks, I know that's her. Because I'm so familiar with her voice. Especially when the voice say, take out the garbage. I'll do that. So, Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Okay, number three. So, why God doesn't seem to listen to our prayer? Could it be our perception of God is not there? The reason I read an article, and here how it goes. It said, there is an interview with a pro football player. This player told a sports reporter why he has chose to go to a certain city to play ball. He was honest enough to say that God spoke to him and he responded back. In other words, I talked to God. He was the late Reggie White, who at that time had just completed the term of his contract with the Philadelphia Eagles, where he had made the all-star team almost every year since he became a professional. And after his contract with Philadelphia had been fulfilled, White, who is also an ordained minister, and his nickname, the Minister of Defense, had been free to sign with any team he wished. And he had several offers that would have made him a very rich man. But when decision time came, White shocked both football observers and many of his friends by signing with the team which was located in the smallest city of all the NFL franchises, the Green Bay Packers. The reporter was conducting the interview and asking White, how had you reached this decision to play for the Packers? And he said, I spent a lot of time praying about this. And one day, as I prayed, I heard God say, Reggie, go to Green Bay. And that's what I did. And White saw in the way the interviewer looked at him at that point, because White said, you know, when you tell people you have been talking to God, they don't have a problem with that. That's praying. If you believe in that sort of thing, it's okay. But when you say that God talks to you, then they think you're crazy or something. And he went on saying, isn't prayer supposed to be a conversation with God? And in the conversation, don't both parties talk? So when we pray, we just can't just yapping our way, going through the motion. It's like Reggie White said. No, it's a conversation with God. When two people have having a conversation, what we do? We take turns talking and listening. We expect the participation of the other party, right? When we pray, we need to have the same type of mindset. We need to expect that God is there with us. But the challenge is that when we are weak, we feel tired, or we feel hurt, we have a tendency of putting a focus on ourselves. Our emotion takes over our mind. Like David, know what God called him? God called him a man after my own heart. You know, he was chased by King Saul because of his jealousy. You know, remember people was chanting like, Saul slain his thousand and David has his 10,000s. So anyhow, Saul's anger and jealousy caused him to hunt for David. And David tried to escape every possible way that he can. And he even humiliated himself by acting crazy. And that didn't even work too well. And eventually, he had to hide in a cave. And it continues Psalm 13 here. David was tired of running, all alone, hungry, nobody to talk to. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle my thought and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, O God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So, when we have what we need, it's easy to say to those that in need, they will say, you know, God is there, God is here for you. But if you put yourself in their shoes, like in this case, for David, he was a hero. He was the right-hand man of the king. He used to sit at the king's table, dine with the king. He had done nothing wrong. Everything he's done is good for King Saul. But now, what is he now? He was nobody. He lost his dignity, hungry, tired of running, hiding in a cave. He was at his dark hours. He was at the point that he felt he was abandoned by everyone, including God. And that's what the devil is using his emotion, his feeling, to cover the truth, the light. And David just set his perception, convincing himself that God was not there for him. You know, when I set our mind to something, it's hard to change. It's like kids and vegetables. They don't like to do that. How about the team they are cheering for? It's like Seahawks. If you are a Seahawks friend, you're not going to be in the middle of season and say, oh, I changed my mind. I don't cheer for that team anymore. I cheer for another team. And how about political parties? Some people just set their mind on voting for one party, and they continue to vote for that party over and over again. Liberal, it goes with Democrats. On conservatives, they go to Republicans. No matter what the candidate believes in, they just vote to what their mind wired to. And actually, I read an article about the study about this by neuroscientists. And here's the report says, neuroscientists have recently shown that this bias in thinking are built into the very way the brain processes information. All brains, regardless of their owner's political affiliation. For example, in a study of people who were being monitored by MRI, while they were trying to process negative or positive information about George Bush or John Kerry, Jew Weston, and his colleague found that the reasoning area of the brain virtually shut down when the participant were confronted with negative information. Imagine that, just shut down, you don't want to hear it. The emotion circuit of the brain lit up happily when positive information was restored. And this mechanism provides a new neurological basis of the observation that once our minds are made up, it's hard to change them. We need to set our minds straight. Like Paul said in Colossians 3:2, said here, set your mind on things where above and not the things of this earth. And more importantly, we need to know that God is here, always here for us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Okay, let's go with to number four. Number four, why God seems to be ignoring our prayer? Perhaps we are hearing but not listening. My wife said, I never listened to her. At least I think that's what she said. You know, Franklin Roosevelt, he often endured long receiving lines at White House. He complained that no one really paid attention to what was said. And one day, during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person, he passed down the line and shook his hand. He mumbled, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And the guest responded like what? Marvelous! Keep up the good work! Oh, God bless you, sir! It was not until at the end of the line, he was greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, and his words were actually heard, and he whispered to him, I'm sure she had it coming. You know, selective hearing. We are not listening. And God actually have Isaiah warned the people of Judah. Said in Isaiah 6:9, said, yes, go and say to the people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Pluck their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with my ears, nor understand with their heart, and turn to me for healing. Matthew 13:13. That's why I speak to them in parable. What does it say? Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. 2 Timothy 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit what's their own desire. They will gather around them with a great number of teachers to say what their itching ear want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. In other words, Paul is telling them they listen to only what they want to listen. And yesterday at the park, we did something fun. Today we try something different. Okay, I'm gonna show a video, you guys. Pay attention to the instruction, I will come back. Benson.
This is a test of selective attention. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the basketball. How many passes did you count? The correct answer is 15 passes. But did you see the gorilla? This video is from research by Daniel Simons and Christopher Chabri and is copyrighted.
All right. How many of you guys see the gorilla? You did?
Yeah.
You were doing that yesterday, maybe. You got up where? Good job. See, it's easy for us to miss out. We just want to see what we want to see. We want to hear what we want to hear. You know, I failed too. I didn't see the gorilla the first time. So, all right. Let's move on to number five. Okay, last one here. Why God doesn't seem to answer our prayer? Perhaps it's a hindrance to our prayers. And there are five things in the Word of God that will affect how effective our prayers are. First, disobeying the Lord's instruction. Proverbs 28:9. If anyone turn a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Instruction, like, if you tell your kids to take out the garbage and they turn a deaf ear on you, do you think when they ask for allowance, you're going to give it to them? No, not following instruction, no. Then number two, pray with arrogance. Matthew 6, 5-6, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on a street corner to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. See, prayer is not a show or entertainment. We don't pray for our glory. It's a conversation with the Lord. Just open your heart. Talk to him. Number three, unconfessed sin. Isaiah 59:1-2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Psalm 66:18. It's going to echo the same ideas. If I had cherished my sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. See, if there's sin in our life, we need to repent, confess, get rid of it, crumble it up, throw it in the garbage. As we pray, we confess our sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all the unrighteousness. We pray. We humble ourselves. Humble ourselves to pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked way. Then what? Then he will hear us from heaven. He will forgive our sin and heal our land. Number five. Okay, number four, wrong relationship with your spouse. 1 Peter 3:7, husband, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heir with you of the gracious life, great gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husband, listen up. You need to know that your wife, God custom made it for you. And same thing for wife. Your husband, God custom created for you. So we got to treat each other with respect. Loving respect. That's a gift from God. And let me read that here. Ephesians 5:22-23. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as the Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hates their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. So, for we are members of this body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So if you are not right with your wife or your husband, make it right. God tells us to do so. This is the right thing from the Lord. Okay, number five, wrong motive, such as like selfish desire or things that are contrary to the word of God. James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask for with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And I tried it yesterday. I'll do an illustration again. And remember, this is just an illustration. It's not me, okay? Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have raised my voice to my wife. Please, Lord, make her not mad at me anymore so she can prepare dinner for tonight. And also, I hope that you will help her to learn not to put 4 spoons of sugar in my coffee, but 3. So I don't have to waste my voice at her again. And Lord, chicken adobo for dinner would be awesome tonight. Amen. Now, it's nothing wrong to ask Lord to help us to mend a relationship, but we are asking for our own self-desire, from our own selfishness, and that's a problem. Psalm 44:21, would not God have discovered it, since he knows the secret of the heart? He knows. When we praise, he knows where our heart is. Is it for ourselves, or is it for the glory of the Lord? God knows. And before I end off here, let me recap what we just talked about. Yeah. So to avoid unanswered or seemingly unanswered prayer, first, what do we need to do? Not to be in a hurry. We know that he is God. Have faith in him. It is his timetable, not ours. Number two, we got to tune in, discern the voice of God. Number three, we pray and remember that we are having a conversation with God. He is here, listening. Number four, when God speaks, we listen. No more those selective hearing, all right? See the gorilla, okay? Number five, we need to address any issues that we have in our life or how we pray. The five things we need to be aware of: we obey God's word. We got to listen to his instruction. Number two, we don't pray for like a show. Number three, confess our sins. Number four, make it right with our spouse. Respect and love each other. Number five, don't pray for selfish desire. Our prayer should be aligned with the word of God. And let me end off here, just one last thing I want to add is that, see, God is here for us, and he is speaking to us. It's up to us to listen or not. It's like a television. You got a remote. It is in your hand. You can flip channel. It is your power to flip to the right channel, God's channel. Right, you don't do channel surfing. Okay, I'm listening to God now. Oh, no, let's listen to the other one. Nope, keep changing channel. No, we just focus on the Lord. Tune into the right channel. And we don't give the remote out to other people to decide what we want to hear. Amen? Amen. All right, Pastor Man.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. What an awesome message. And, you know, we realize there may be times, right, when it seems like things aren't going our way in life, and we just keep on praying and praying and praying, and it seems like our prayers aren't getting answered. And I remember one time I talked to this one person, and he told me, he said, Pastor, I done that. I tried it. It doesn't work. I go, oh, man, you got to keep on praying. You know, this is the thing that God requires of us, because it shows that we have faith in him. Just because you don't get your answer when you want it doesn't mean that God isn't doing anything. No, he's working. As soon as you pray that prayer, God He's all ears. And he's going to receive your prayer, and you're going to wait for his best to come. Not your best, his best. Because he may answer in a way that is totally different from what you were expecting. But we realize God knows more than you. He knows more than me. Praise God for that. And we know that we trust in him. And, you know, we know there's a lot that is going on in the world today. Oh, man, it seems like it's pure evil. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, it was in France, right? That mass shooting. And now we're here in San Bernardino, California, you know, just several days ago. And it just seems like, man, is it going to get any worse? I mean, this is evil as evil can get. But we realize, you know, we live in a world where people, some of them, they just don't want to turn to God. They reject God and say, you know what? I don't know if God can really do anything. You know, I have to tell you, you know, after, I think it was a day or so later, after the shootings at San Bernardino, you know, some of the Republican presidential hopefuls, you know, they were making some comments on the social media. And Ted Cruz, he's a Christian, and he made a comment. He just says, you know, all our condolences and prayers go out to those families that lost their loved ones. And, I mean, that's what we would say, right? Our prayers are for you. But, you know, there was an article the next day that was written in the New York Daily Times. And it, you know what it said on the headline? Prayers don't work. It's about time we get stricter gun laws. And you think about it, whether that is the answer or not, okay? Whether we need stricter gun laws or not, we realize prayer works. Come on now. And for those who don't even believe in God, they say, yeah, look, prayer doesn't work. Well, have you ever prayed? How can you say prayer doesn't work when you didn't even try it? You can say, oh, but that's what you're always saying, pray, 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 but look, nothing's happening. But we realize God is at work. We must trust in God. We must believe that his hand comes to do his work upon our lives. His presence comes, and he shows himself in a way that you know he's there. He's going to show forth his presence with his love. Experience his love. Experience his peace. Experience his joy, because that's what his presence is about. When you pray to him, he will show himself. You can count on it. And we must tell the world, no, keep on praying. Because if you stop praying, oh boy, watch how our world will really crumble now. The very fact we know our God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. And he desires to lavish his love upon all his children. If we continue to look to him, we continue to trust in him, you will not be disappointed. Because God says, I will never fail you. Man can fail you, but God says, I will never fail you. For you belong to me. Amen. Let's go out and tell the world, hey, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Amen. And Jesus is coming soon. Praise God. Want to go ahead, let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken through my brother Lawrence today. What a powerful message, Lord. I know this from you. And Father, we just receive your word and say, Lord, forgive us of those times, Lord, when we had doubt. Knowing, Father, as we pray unto you, you hear every prayer. And it's your desire just to bring forth your very best as we continue to trust in you. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know what? I realize, Pastor Ben, there were times in my life when it just seems like when I prayed, God wasn't listening. It seemed like God didn't care. But from the scriptures I've heard today from Elder Lawrence, I realize he never stops listening, that he cares for me, and he cares for me deeply. Father, forgive me of those times. And if not right now, you're saying, Lord, I want to just take my prayer life up another notch. Lord, I want to be in such a state of mind, knowing, Lord, that every day as I wake up, I can hear your voice. And as I pray to you, Father, I know you're going to be speaking to me. And Father, I know your presence will just come forth. The fullness of your holy presence will just come forth upon me. And truly, if this is what you desire, you say, Lord, I want to really just take up my prayer life, just up that notch, Lord, where I can truly experience you and I can truly experience your voice. And with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if that's you, can you raise your hand and say, that's me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Praise God. I want to hear you, Lord. I want to hear you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is the cry of our heart, Lord. No matter what's going on around us, Father, no matter what we hear on the news, Father, we hold on tight to the very one that we call our Savior. It's Jesus that can save us, Lord, from all the evil that is around us. It is Jesus that can save us from ourselves. It is Jesus that can truly bring forth the peace that we need in our lives and in our world, in our country. Father, help us because we're desperate for you. And I just pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, as we know your angels are all over this very place. Oh, Lord, let your peace just flow. Oh, let your joy flow. Oh, let your love flow right now in Jesus' name. Let it flow in this very place. Let it flow in our lives, Father. As we truly make this decision to live for you, Father, I pray you're going to magnify yourself. We're going to put you first above all things, Lord. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, just to continue to show us more and more of yourself, Lord. As we decrease, may you increase in every way. We pray, Father, that we're going to hold on tight. Hold on tight, Lord, to your word. We're going to hold on tight to your presence, Lord. And we're never going to let go, Father. We're never going to look back. We're going to keep walking strong. We're going to walk straight towards you, right into your holy presence each and every day. We give you all the glory, Father. We give you all the praises. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Now, for some of you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with his son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer. But this prayer must come from deep within your heart, deep within your soul. If you've never done this before, realize God is giving you this invitation right now. He's saying, come say yes to my son Jesus. Receive him into your heart. Because if you do, I will come forth and I will show myself to you. I will welcome you into my family of believers if you say yes to my son Jesus. And if you feel this tugging in your heart right now, I got to tell you, this is real. This is the Holy Spirit says, yes, make this choice for him. Because Father God is waiting for you. And he loves you so deeply. And if you're ready, you're saying, yes, Lord. Yes, I am ready to receive you into my heart. I want to live for you. I want to have your word come alive and speak to me in such ways that I will truly live a life that you called me to live. And if this is the cry of your heart right now, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I say yes to Jesus Christ. I receive him fully into my heart. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right, we can put your hands down. Praise the Lord. Why don't you repeat this prayer after me and just totally mean it from your heart because God is listening right now. Say, Father God, I need you and I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Well, cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. I live for him only. I am property of Jesus Christ. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen. Amen.